Hey there. Welcome to the Pine Island Experience Podcast. I'm Joanna Anderson with my husband, Trigvi. Each of our episodes will be conversations with fellow Pine Islanders.
The goal of our podcast is to share with you our experiences, what we have found to be fun, and what makes the Pine Island experience so unique.
Oh, there was a washboard road all the way to Bokeyi from the center. And then the road up there wasn't that good. The tide used to come up on it between here and Matt Lachey. And Matt Lachey, we didn't know that there was, I don't know if it was Matt Lachey then or not, because we called it the fill, because none of the outlaying subdivisions was there. It was just one road. And people, they dug out and filled up enough that the houses could be, most of them, on the road. But the back there was over the water where they could put their nets and stuff, because it's mostly fishermen.
Miss Fran Popple, 92 years young, was reminiscing what it was like growing up on Pine Island and experiencing so many changes. Miss Fran's family moved to Punta Blanca Island when she was just 6 years old. She's lived on the island most of her life. Still living on Pine Island, her love of sewing, painting, and crafting keeps her busy and happy. And now, here is Fran Popple.
Well, we have with us today Fran Popple from Pine Island. Been on the island many, many years, I understand. And we're so excited to hear from you. So thank you. Thank you for saying yes to the podcast.
It's my pleasure.
We always start in the beginning. The very beginning, about where you were born and where did you grow up and where did you go to school. Could you fill us in on your background?
Okay, I was born in Punta Gorda, and my mother remarried when I was 6 and a half, and she married a commercial fisherman, and we moved to Punta Blanca. It was the island where the school was at. And it had like 5 houses on there, first come, first served. And the caretaker lived there then, belonged to Collier, from Collier County, and went to school there until through the 6th grade, and I was too old to go to school. So we moved to Bokeyi and bought the Buttonwood Cottage. It wasn't the Buttonwood Cottage then. It was just an old cracker house, and it was mangroves to the back, but they built a road down there and they put a fish house down there. My father leased it to a Bonita Fish Company. And that's where I met my husband. He'd come down there to pick up fish. He was from North Florida, born in Perry. Mm-hmm. And he used to come down here fishing on boats where they lived on the boat and they fished. And he fishing wasn't very good, so he got a job at Bonita Fish Company, and they picked up fish at Pineland. They picked up fish at Down Maria Drive now, and St. James and Bokeyi. But anyway, then I went to school there to Fort Myers. There was nothing but 2 sawmills between the corner here and Bokeyi. But Stringfellow, where the road is named after him, he lived in there back in the Catholic Church, because my sister had TB. And back then, they put you in a sanitarium. Mm. And she had 2 children. And Mom had to go to Mississippi and get the children. And her husband brought her here because Florida had the sanatorium. And she was awful bad. And so we didn't have a car, but somebody took us out to Stringfellow's. And he was the one that got her in, put her ahead of I don't know who else. But anyway, that was a blessing. She was there 2 years while took care of the little ones. But I went to school in Fort Myers and went to junior high and went to senior high. I graduated in the 10th grade. I quituated. Anyway, you know, it was hard for me to go to school because we didn't have, we were poor. We didn't have, the clothes I had, I made. I started making my clothes when I was 11. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I went back to night school when I got children, got my high school diploma, GED, and I went to vocational school for secretarial. And then I went to numerous art things and sewing classes. So I've always been doing something like that.
And you liked sewing, didn't you?
Yeah, I sew over there in the little house where my mom's. Mm-hmm. Jim was a big instigator in helping me get that back where I could, because it was almost destroyed.
Oh.
Roof and leaked and on the floor. But anyway, then we moved here in 53, and my mom moved next door in 63. But we've been here all these years. Watched everything grow, but there was one little school bus that took all of us children off of Pine Island. There was not a very good road down to St. James, and there was a little old school bus. Honestly, it was so tiny, but it was a school bus. This lady met us down here at the corner, and I think the kids, only kids there was the hers. The little ones went to J. Colin English, and then he put them out and picked up the kids from Palmona Park and mm-hmm. took them to high school, took the kids to Catholic school. The Haunches went to Catholic school. He took them there.
Mm-hmm. How long was that ride to get to school?
Well, we left at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And we got home like 5:30 in the afternoon.
Wow. Long day.
Uh-huh. Mr. Hiltbrand, that lived at Pineland, was our bus driver. I've seen a lot of things come on the island, a lot of building and all that. It's interesting to look back. You have to look forward, too.
Yeah. So I have to guess that Punta Gorda was not very big when you were
just
born.
Just one street.
One street, really.
Hi.
And I missed it really bad.
I was going to say, that was still quite a change moving to an island with
yes.
five homes, right?
I knew everybody there, and I would go to the store for this lady that lived on the corner where we lived, and she would send me to the store, and she had this little bitty kerosene can because she had a kerosene stove,
mm-hmm.
a note with what she needed, and her name was Miss Sweeney. They call me Miss Sweeney because nobody could read her writing but this one guy, and he called me Miss Sweeney. But I missed Punta Gorda so bad yeah. until I used to sit on the banks at Punta Blanca and say, if I ever get off of here, I'm never coming back.
Oh.
Well, you know, when I went back was when I had a grandchild, a great-grandchild that was 3 years old. And we decided, I was working at Lee Memorial Hospital then. I worked there in the cafeteria for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends was recuperating from a surgery, and she was off. So we decided to go to Punta Blanca. Down at that end, there's nothing on there now, to have a picnic. So then I got brave, and I said, take me around to the old dock that's falling down. That's where the school boat mm-hmm. landed. And so I got out, and I was going up to see if I could find where the schoolhouse was, because we just went right up to the school. And there was this big board laying down there, big old, looked like the side of a house or something. So I get up on that, and I stick a nail in my foot.
Oh.
So I had to go get a tetanus shot. I had tennis shoes on, but I've never been back. The guy that wrote Goat Boat, he tried to get me to go over there. And then Rosa, my friend, Rosa Knight, she's been trying to get me to go over there. It's all grown up now, probably.
Yeah.
And that was a one-room schoolhouse?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, today we've got electricity, air conditioning. Is it fair safe to assume you had none of that?
No.
Yeah.
We had a cistern, a rainwater tank at each one of our houses.
Okay.
And then we had this big one. They called it the Mercantile, but nothing ever came of it. It was a nice big building, but a huge rainwater tank. And when the water would get low at each one of them's house, they would go there and get their water. But our school was about as far as from, wasn't even as far as Publix. But anyway, we took turns of going. We got a bucket of water and a dipper. Everybody drank out of the same dipper.
Oh.
I mean, you know, our immune system must have been great.
Yeah.
We had different school teachers. And one school teacher was Jimmy Keene. Her parents lived what's now called Maria Drive on mm-hmm. there. Their name was Keene. And her uncle had the school boat. And he would, she stayed over there at a room with some people that rented to the school board. And then she would come home on Friday evening and come back Monday. He would bring her home and then he'd come back. And so she took me home with her.
Oh.
And I was happy, happy, happy.
Of course.
For the get off that island for the weekend.
Yeah. You'd been trying to get off the island for quite a while.
Trying to get off.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had a caretaker was there for a couple of years, but he moved off because they didn't need him anymore. Collier had a big yacht in the back bay. He would notice Sam Morris, and he'd go take the hull off of it and take it down to Naples. But they moved all the stuff that was his off of there.
Oh.
But anyway, that was quite an adventure living on Punta Blanca.
Did you have any storms while you lived there that you can remember?
Well, not bad, I guess, because I probably would have remembered them. But
right.
They had a board with a piece of yellow something on it that they would drop the Coast Guard. Tell us we was going to get a hurricane. We may see it and we may not. But the houses were very sturdy over there.
Okay.
Very sturdy. We kind of knew when the bad weather was coming, like Indians living on the water, you know. You just know those kind of things. Yeah. My time over there, when I look back, it was an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it again.
Would you now? Now you
but
would.
Now, yeah.
A lot of kids had to take the school boat, right?
Yeah, on Kai Costa did, and Cabbage Key.
Yeah, but you didn't have to. You were right there.
No, I lived on where the school was at.
Right.
And we had this one teacher that, I don't know if she wasn't paying attention or she just didn't care. She lived on USAPA. USAPA wasn't going then. And the county got her a room over there, and her name was Miss Frainer, and it was during the war, and we thought she was a spy because her name was German. We knew it was war at German. So, but anyway, we would, when she'd go out to the outhouse, we'd set the clock back, and we'd be out there playing baseball maybe an hour before the school boat would come because we played a lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
She never did catch on.
She didn't catch on to what you did? Oh, my.
So anyway, kids will be kids, you know.
Pranks?
That's the worst we ever done.
Well, then that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's the worst. Yeah. You just had extra playtime.
Yeah. With the kids that had to go on the school boat. Only there's not the picture that's in that goat boat of where it's school. There's not. I don't think any of them is living but me.
Oh.
Really? Now, did you go, if it was raining, high waves? I mean, the school boat went every day, or did they say, no, it's not safe to bring
over? No, they went every day.
Wow.
He had a cabin on his boat, and the kids would get under there. The name of the book is Goat Boat because there used to be a pet goat on the island that met the school boat every morning.
Oh, sweet.
But that was before I got there.
Okay. Yeah, before you were on the
Somebody
island.
Somebody had a picture of it. Robert Ballard's mom and them.
Yeah, he found, a box of pictures at one point.
Well, I gave him some pictures.
Oh, nice.
One time. His mama's brother, his uncle, was my sister's husband. And when the guy wrote the goat book, he was asking somebody questions because he was a tour. He was on that tour boat that goes over to Kai Costa.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to tell the people about the islands as he was going, you know. And so he asked somebody, and they said, well, you want to go and see Fran Popple? So that's how the boat got started.
Mm-hmm.
And he come and talked to me, and I told him about my brother-in-law, Charlie Spearin. He's passed. Mm. Winston Coleman and Corbett Levins. He lived on the island. The only people I didn't tell him about was the guys on Cabbage Key, because I didn't know them that well.
Yeah.
I think they had since moved so they could go to a higher school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must have been hard trying to get to school. You went
and
through a lot.
And then after we left, they only had it a little while longer because there wasn't enough kids to go to school there. And they would send them to Boca Grande.
Oh.
But then that stopped after a while.
So when you got to Pine Island, you alluded there was not a lot here, and you've seen a lot grow up. Do you remember any big events, like, was it like the first, you know, hardware store, or like what was like a big that really started to change life, would you say? Or was it just housing, or?
Mostly housing. There was a sweet potato farm down there at the corner. They drilled a well. They finally got it drilled. It was 1,100 feet deep.
Wow.
That where the beauty shop and that roundhouse. We called it the roundhouse when they first built it because it was just a round thing with a roof and things. It's been a hardware store. That was good for when my kids was little.
Yeah.
Had a little post office in there. Mr. Parker owned it. My kids would go down there. Yeah, my boys was raised here on the island, and they are good boys. We had a city dump down there where the Pastor Methodist Church back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go down there. We'd take our garbage down there. They would get bicycle parts and stuff like that. Oh. They were very
like resourceful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They loved to build things.
Yeah.
And so when they all left home, we got this guy to come and clean up the little house back there where they had all their stuff. Three truckloads of bicycle parts and all kind of motor parts and stuff. But they wasn't bored. They never, bored wasn't in our vocabulary. And my oldest son went in the Navy out of high school, was there for 4 years. He was in the submarines. He was stationed in Key West. That's where he met his wife. And then the other one went in the Navy right after high school, and he stayed in the Navy for 23 years.
Wow.
And then they finally come home, and that's when they went to work at Mundungo. They were caretakers there for 10 years.
What made them pick the Navy? Because of being on boats and being in the water, or?
Well, my son was in the submarines, the oldest one.
Oh, wow.
And he was stationed in Key West. You know, when they get out of boot camp and they give them a dream sheet, they used to call it, and they never usually got anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
They sent them as far away as they could. But he wanted to go to Key West, and because his daddy would go down there and get on the mackerel boats when it was that season and fish back up to Naples.
Oh.
And so he was stationed in Key West, and when the submarine was in the port, he could go across the bridge to Marathon and get on one of those mackerel boats and make more in one night than he could all the month in the Navy.
Wow.
And so that's where he met his wife. But the other one, he was just an engine man on ships. He was in the Persian Gulf twice.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Vietnam for a year.
Oh.
But he come out, the last ship he was on, he was only accountable to the captain. I asked him, I said, you know, who are you to have to answer to? He said, the captain. That was the only one. He was under the captain, so
wow.
He did well.
He went far.
Mm-hmm. The other two, there was 5 years difference between the two pairs of boys.
Okay.
And they went to vocational school and learned a trade.
Okay.
And Paul went to, he won district, and he won state, and he won national in the paint and body competition.
Wow.
New York come in second. And he went out, way out, I forget, wherever the Oral Roberts University is, that state.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he went for his last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark never pursued his. He won district, but he never owned a body shop. He just managed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to work Disney, worked there 16 years as maintenance. Yeah, he just retired.
Wow.
Yeah, his wife, so he could be home with his wife. She was sick. She passed away.
Oh. Hmm.
I lost two daughter-in-laws within 8 months.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's hard.
My youngest and my oldest.
Oh.
But anyway, life goes on.
You raised some great boys, didn't you?
Yes.
You must have been a busy person taking care of those
boys. I was. you know, my husband, he fished. He was a commercial fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked at the school for 11 years as a custodian.
At Pine Island Elementary? Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I worked out there a couple of years in the lunchroom when mm-hmm. my two smallest ones was there. And I worked in Boca Grande for 21 years in a private home.
Wow.
For her personal maid.
Wow.
That was quite an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
All my kids were, all except the youngest one, they were all grown and gone. I think back, how did I do all that? I'm thinking, well, you're 92 years old. You had plenty of years to do
it. Yeah. You
had plenty of years to do it. And then I say, how did I do that? Because I drove over there. At first, I was living in for 5 days because everything was fine here. My husband's able to take care of himself. And my mom next door,
mm-hmm.
she was good. But then she had her house redone and moved over there for good.
Mm-hmm.
Her father worked for DuPont for 48 years. He was the CEO of DuPont.
Wow.
And his daughters lived at Boca Grande, too. That's one of the reasons she wanted to have her home over there permanently mm-hmm. because they played bridge every afternoon. There was two of their daughters, Mrs. Harrison and Mrs. Lord, that lived across the alley at Boca Grande from Mrs. Flatus. It was quite an adventure. I met a lot of people.
Sure. But you did end up driving back and forth, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I did it. People say, why didn't you go in the boat? I did not want to go in the boat because I did not like the water that good.
There really?
You go again, you know, really. I don't care about the water.
Okay. You like the land better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not very popular with the other people that like the water. They want to be near the water, you know.
But you want to be on land.
But I liked it out here. Mm-hmm. I've always liked it here. And so far, all the storms has let my house be.
Do you like seafood? You grew up with a lot of seafood, didn't you? Do you like fish? And
yes, but you know, I'm so used to getting the best.
Yes.
Until when I go to the restaurant, I don't order them. I don't order fish.
You'll just be disappointed, right? Or
because I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's not as fresh as what I'm used to getting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my neighbor brings me some fish when I ask him to.
Okay.
And he cleans them for me. But he fishes only for mullet. But they're good. See, at different times of the year.
Now, in terms of getting on and off the island, what changes have you seen there in terms of, you know, the quality of the road, the bridges, et cetera?
Oh, there was a washboard road all the way to Boquilla from the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then the road up there wasn't that good. The tide used to come up on it between here and Matlache.
Uh-huh.
And Matlache, we didn't know that there was, I don't know if it was Matlache then or not, because we called it the fill, because none of the outlying subdivisions was there. It was just one road. And people, they dug out and filled up enough that the houses could be, most of them, on the road. But the back there was over the water where they could put their nets and stuff because it was mostly fishermen.
Mm-hmm. So you called it the fill?
We called it the fill. And then the old wooden bridge that was there, sometime we called it the bridge. It was mm-hmm. going to the bridge.
Okay.
In fact, there was the church that split up, went half out there on the island, and the Baptist church over here. But the Baptist church there, we called it Pine Island Bridge Baptist Church. You know, I mean, really. We'd ride a bicycle from Boquilla to Mat Lache and not even see a car.
Wow. Yeah. So you didn't have to be afraid of having your bike on the road.
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
And sometimes when the fish truck drivers would come get fish at Boquilla, my friends was at Mat Lache. We went to school together. So we'd spend the night with each other sometime. We went, the mailman, he was Mr. Dorcas, and he would take us to Mat Lache if he would take you to Fort Myers for 50 cents.
Oh, so you had like a taxi service. The mailman. This is the mailman. Okay.
Yeah, he had a little old funny-looking car. It was some kind of a little van-looking car, but mm-hmm. It wasn't. I can't know what it was. Yeah, I've seen a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen when we went to school over the bridge down there, if a car was coming, we have to wait. And if we were up there, the cars had to wait. That's how narrow it was.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And the bridge didn't go up, right?
No.
Not like the one today. Okay.
Just a little humpback bridge.
Yeah.
No, but
one lane.
You fished on it. All the way.
Oh.
You know, they had sides on it like a walk.
It's always been popular for fishing.
Yeah,
huh?
They called it the fishiest bridge in the world. And early on in our married life, my husband worked, took care of a fish house up there. And in the wintertime, the people would come. They would trout fish with a hook and line. In the afternoon, we would call it the Bucket Brigade because all the people would come with their buckets where they had caught trout. And sometime my husband would write up a whole little ticket book of receipts for fish. Maybe they'd be 3 pounds, 4 pounds. Whatever they caught, they usually brought it to sell at the fish house.
That was a nice way to make a little money.
Well, they didn't hardly pay you anything.
No.
But they furnished you a place to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can remember the minutes to the church. I have a copy of that. The year I was baptized, they used to just go down by the church because it was over the water and baptize you. But the deacons had a meeting, and they decided to take Charles Miller for a pastor, and he was going to get $45 a month. And he had to pay his own place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all it was. There wasn't any Clyde Gary come along and built Mat Lache Island Harbors there
mm-hmm.
by the Perfect Cup that goes down in there.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who built the one this side of the bridge that goes down in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an idea he had a hand in it. But they went down there and dug canals and built houses.
Now, when did you get interested in doing arts and crafts? You've been doing that all your life? Or
well, some. I always made my clothes
mm-hmm.
When I was going to school and later on. But I've not been painting for, I guess maybe I might have been 40-something when I started painting.
Okay.
Well, I really didn't have time to do any arts and crafts. I had to take care of kids.
4 boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they could all, when they got grown, their wife thanked me because they could all cook.
Oh.
They all could do housework because they had to do it sometimes because when they got older, my husband fished at night and he would take care of the kids. And I worked the evening shift at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He would, and then I'd get up in the morning, get them all off to school, and get their dinner and put it in the fridge. Mm-hmm. And he would warm it up and take care of them until I came home, got them all in bed. But then my oldest son, he liked to cook. So then he started helping me out. But then he goes off and joins the service.
There goes your cook, right?
I thought my life was ending when my oldest son joined the service. Oh, my goodness. They never been, you know, away or anything. They were home children.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sent this little old box when he was in boot camp, when he got there, with his clothes in it. I thought, they don't do that now. Oh, and then that was just really, my heart broke, you know. Their son is gone. And then the next year, the other one joined.
Only a year later?
Yeah, because there's a, they had this program that Navy presented that they would let, it, if they joined the, when they were seniors, that they could have all summer of that year before they had to report to boot camp. Both of them went to Great Lakes, Illinois. Yeah, I missed them so much because they never, you know, only Boy Scouts went to camp and stuff, you know, and, but they had never been gone.
Their brothers must have missed them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were a close family. We still are. Yeah, I'm very blessed. My kids are very good to me. That's the reason I'm allowed to stay in this old house, because they keep it up for me. My carport, it looked like a giant had just folded it up and laid it on top of my house. And it was as big as this carport. It was double.
Was that after Ian?
Ian. And so they got all that off and eventually got me a new carport and fixed my back porch. My cat litter and everything's in the bathroom because I had to take everything off the back porch. She likes that.
Yeah, she would rather be in here with you. She's a cutie. What's her name?
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat. Oh, what a great name for a cat.
Yeah, I've been sewing for years, ever since I was 9 or 10. I used to sew on my mom's old pedal machine. That's how I learned to sew on Punta Blanca. I'd cut patterns out of old newspapers. Then when I got to Boquilla, we had electricity. And the minimum was $2.69. And my stepfather wouldn't let us listen to the radio because he thought that I'd run the light bill up. We never went over the minimum. And so when he'd go fishing, we'd turn the radio on and listen to Ma Perkins, soap opera. Never did go over the minimum. For years, we didn't have telephone out Boquilla. When my oldest son was born, he was born in Punta Gorda. My husband, we were taking care of the fish house down there. And he was supposed to, my grandmother, like, we called her Granny Flowers. She was like a grandmother to us. That's where I stayed. And she was supposed to call the man that owned the fish company in Punta Gorda, I mean, Fort Myers. And he was going to come out here and tell my husband that I was in the hospital with the baby. And then Dub had to go all the way back up to Weaver's Corner, the old 41, and go to Punta Gorda because there wasn't no Burnt Store Road. So anyway, the baby came before he got up to Punta Gorda. But he had just been up there to see me because it was his birthday. And somebody gave him a coconut cake, Robert Ballard's grandmother. And so he didn't like coconut cake, so he brought it up there to us. And we had went to the movie, and I had come home and had coconut cake and a glass of milk. And he hadn't no sooner got home than the guy come and told him. So he went back, but he missed the birth. And that was the only baby in the hospital then. It was just a little one-story hospital.
Yeah, and that was on his birthday?
Yeah.
So you had a son on his birthday and shared it. Well, we've really enjoyed talking to you. This is amazing.
Well, maybe I rattled on.
No. It's just captivating in your life here. It's just amazing. But thank you so much.
Now, we had the second Jim Walter house built in Lee County. We had to wait for them to build one in Alva. And the way we got ours, we used to take a friend of ours to the There was no specialist here. We took him to Tampa. He had cancer of the throat, but he got over it. On the way to Sarasota, we would see this here house advertised. It was like a 20 by 20. So we stopped one day, and we used to rent. And my husband said, if I ever get a place of my own, I'm never going to leave, never going to move again. So we got it, but we got a 20 by 26. And we built on to each side. In fact, Robert Ballard's father built this front on here. My brother-in-law built the back.
So you did stay here. He never did leave.
71 years.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
February will be 72 years. Wow. We came here in 53. The two oldest boys was little. They hadn't went to school yet.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories with us. We sure enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it too.
We hope you enjoyed our Pine Island Experience podcast. If you have any ideas for us, people to interview, or any comments, please feel free to email them to us at pineislandexperience@gmail.com. That's pineislandexperience, all one word, @gmail.com. Don't forget to like us, and you may subscribe to this podcast using all the major catchers like Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks again for listening, and remember, island life is a constant vacation. We'll see you on the next podcast.